1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Los Angeles. Former President Donald Trump hit the campaign trail this weekend just after a federal indictment against him was made public. CBS's Robert Costa on the allegations.
Why did the former president bring these documents back to Mar-a-Lago? What was the motivation? He was angry. So much of this, as with many Trump stories, is driven by grievance and how Mark Milley, in the public eye, was becoming a major figure. And to counter Milley's growing public profile, Trump, in interviews with reporters and friends, he started to bring out documents to make his own case on national security, on foreign policy, to say that he was, in a sense, better than Milley, that Milley didn't know what he was doing.
Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan said on CNN he's backing Trump.
Everyone sees this for the political operation it is.
Heavily traveled I-95 in Philadelphia is a mess after a vehicle fire. Fire Captain Derek Baumer.
We did have a collapse of 95 on the northbound side, and the southbound side is compromised by heavy fire. It looked like we had a lot of heat and heavy fire underneath the underpass.
History is made in Paris.
There is a new grandmaster in men's tennis.
That from NBC, tennis star Novak Djokovic has won the French Open over Casper Ruud, giving him his 23rd men's singles Grand Slam title, a new record. A counteroffensive is underway in Ukraine, the BBC's Danny Eberhard.
Ukraine's counteroffensive is in its early stages. Many analysts believe its military is probing Russia's defenses constructed over months. The Institute for the Study of War assesses that while Ukrainian forces appear to have made some localized gains, they've struggled to break through dug-in Russian positions.
Crashes involving Teslas operated in autopilot mode have surged. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration finds there were 736 crashes since 2019, much more than previously reported. 17 were fatal. A Washington Post analysis of the data finds the jump reflects not only hazards associated with driver-assisted technology, but the increased presence of those cars on the road. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has said cars operating in the autopilot mode are safer than those driven by people.
Legendary Yankees radio announcer John Sterling got bopped in the head with a foul ball during last night's game while he was live on the air.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow!
Hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Sterling says he's fine and he'll be back in the booth tonight. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
It can be stressful when unexpected expenses come up, but Dave can help. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. No interest, late fees, or credit check. Join the millions of people who have downloaded Dave and get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. Download the Dave app right now or go to Dave.com. For terms and conditions, go to Dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
Now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson & Wachs can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Watts, GTWLawyers.com.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 41 tonight under clear skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 72. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers, lows dip down to about 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 56.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out. You know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand, too, is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Harold Breyer
and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African-American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing and the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches, there were boycotts, there were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee in during that period of time.
Several
Dick
times.
Gregory,
several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved in helping to publicize what was going on and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Groppi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Groppi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, and spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council of Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights march.
I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marches. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Groppi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee, that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So, Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for him, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, you know, throw rocks at him or, you know, or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. So that everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots when they closed the city down. All of a sudden the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know. And like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African-American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know. But it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live where they wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey Andy,
that would be my observation.
Hey Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred.
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself, because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading, and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council, and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So, as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee. Because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. You know, black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, because we unfortunately, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the viaduct who were enforcing their constitutional rights?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion that we'll have after the break.
Okay. All right, hang on. 844-967-2789. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. We'll be right back.
protection against sludge and wear with a synthetic oil change. O'Reilly Auto Parts has 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $35.95, plus get 2x O Rewards points. Our professional parts people can recommend the supplies you need, including a filter, funnel, shop towels, drain pan, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267.
And you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now
to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out.
That's 1-800-935-7267.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, Attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But, Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with their batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of their constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor, saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is watermelon. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves, check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Wachs has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Wisconsin Rapids area will host the 18th Annual Cranberry Blossom Festival, June 15th through the 18th, 2023. Join us as we celebrate our blossoming community with 25 events for the whole family, including a carnival, live music, arts, a parade, and more. Known for our rich cranberry heritage and special events, the four-day event highlights and supports outstanding groups in our community. Traditional favorites include the Berry Fest Raffle, the Dairy Berry Breakfast, Cinema Under the Stars, Kids Fishing, Arts and Crafts, Parade, and the Duck Derby. For more information, visit blossomfest.com or check out their Facebook page.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in a row.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 41 tonight under clear skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 72. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers, lows dip down to about 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 56.
In hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by for a world that ain't so pretty. His parents give strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city. Patience long, but soon it won't have any. To find a job is like a haystack needle, 'cause where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the city.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated, and what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called a luta continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with the direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances. We've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols
right.
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, they were...
Go ahead, Fred. The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes. You know,
yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So,
and
Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No,
you know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state
you know, of black people.
But you are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Amber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
The Woodchucks and the Rafters meet today on this Sunday afternoon here on a cloudy evening at Witterfield. And good afternoon, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM. Well, the Rafters were victorious last night, and it was a memorable Saturday night as it was a rain delay in a game where that started at 8:45, ended around 11:30, 11:45, and it was a exciting game. The Rafters were able to take down the Woodchucks off of a walk-off ground out from Levi Jensen that sent Gurevich home. So the Rafters were able to take a 3-2 victory, and as of right now, they hold a 3-0 series lead over the Woodchucks. But today it is the final game of the series before the Rafters hit the road tomorrow against Lakeshore. And the Rafters are going with Jackson Wentworth, the right-handed pitcher, on the mound. Ty Johnson, the center fielder, will be leading off. They're going Chris Conniff, batting second, the second baseman, Garrett Broussard, the shortstop, Jack Gurevich at first base. He'll be batting in the four hole. Matt Olive, the DH, out of Valparaiso, and Anthony Gallison will be slotted in at left field. Kyle Carlson at third base. Alex Duffy will be getting the start back behind the plate, the catcher out of Elon, and Brandon Rogers, the right fielder out of Iowa Western, and the trustworthy nine hole hitter. As this brings up for the Wausau Woodchucks, Ethan Pecco, the Towson University product out of Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, will be getting the start on the mound. And boy, he can throw strikeouts. He's had 15 strikeouts so far through two games, so he's a guy to look out for if you're Wausau. As Brady Jurgella will be leading off, the center fielder, and Brent Witter, the DH, will be batting second. Michael McGinnis at right field. Simon Sherry, he had a good day yesterday. He'll be batting in at fourth with the shortstop position. Vincent Samuel, the third base. Jacob Schroeder, the catcher. Drew Berkland, the left fielder. Jake Baker will be batting eighth at first base. And then batting in the nine hole, Matt Del Sol, who will be slotted in at second base today. We've seen him at third and at shortstop, but today he'll be playing the four position. So these two teams getting set to go. It is Latino night here in Witterfield as the new special edition jerseys for the Rafters. They are a gray jersey, a gray kind of in black camouflage with a red logo that says Los Rafters on it on the front and then a red lettering on the back. So pretty interesting and pretty exciting to see these jerseys be put on display here today as the Woodchucks are going to be in their blue uniforms with the gray pants and the blue hats. So these two teams, well, last night a slow game, a game that was started at 6:35 and then, well, got put on to 8:45 as it finally ended up in about 2 hour and 20 minute game that went the distance. And the Rafters were down 2-1 bottom of the ninth as they were able to get a run earlier in the game in the bottom of the fifth off of a Logan Hugo RBI that sent Ty Johnson home. But down 2-1, and the pressure was on as it started with back-to-back hits from Jack Basir, who's not in the lineup today. He's out of Wisconsin Rapids. And also Jack Gurevich as well was a guy that was able to get back-to-back hits. And then from there, Logan Hugo kept in, and he was intentionally walked. So the bases were juiced. There was one out, and Levi Jensen was up, and he grounded to third, and Gurevich was sent home. The play was at the plate. He slid safe in a walk-off for the first time this season. And it took place here at Witterfield. So Rafters are going to go, as I said, Jackson Wentworth, the Kansas State product, who had a tough time in the game he previously pitched in, which was against Madison. He allowed 10 hits and 7 runs, but he acquired 3 strikeouts. So the Kansas State product will be getting his redemption today as he hopes to have a great day because it is a 61-degree day. It is windy. It is cloudy. But the environment is alive here at Witterfield as fans trickle in and excited to have this Latina night on display here and a new promotion that is going to get everybody involved. And, well, these two teams are going to have to battle it out. The Rafters have been able to beat the Rafters three The Raptors have been able to beat the Woodchucks three straight times, and Wausau has not had a game back at their place, so they've yet to win a game against the Raptors here at Witter Field. And, well, guys that can do it for them are for Wausau. They have Brady Dragella, who's been a guy that has been reliable in the leadoff, and no Jesse Donahoe in the lineup today. He struggled against the Raptors, so Wisconsin Rapids has done well to get him out of the lineup as they're having guys that come in, and Kyle Carlson will be returning back in the lineup at batting in the 7 hole at third base. So these two teams about 10 minutes away from opening pitch here on WFHR. We'll be back here in a moment.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers. But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
We return to Witter Field as Raptors and the Woodchucks just about 10 minutes away from first pitch. The Raptors yesterday, as I said, were able to get a run in the bottom of the fifth. Logan Hugo drove a ball out to left center field that eventually sent Ty Johnson home from second. So it was a slow game, but 16 combined hits as Woodchucks were out hitting the Raptors for a majority of the game. And bottom of the fifth came and, well, Hugo drove a ball that sent Johnson in. So they were up 1-0, but we headed to the top of the seventh, and then the Woodchucks were able to get two runs in as it was a game yesterday where it was rainy, it was cold, and it was just a game that's, you know, it was a back-and-forth game. Teams were trying to figure out, well, where can they attack that, you know, defense of each team, and they found it. The Raptors found it with some late hitting, and then the bottom of the ninth came, and, well, they were down 2-1, but they had their lineup up, and Gervich and Jack Basir was up, and Basir drove a ball to center field that got him on first. Gervich came in and did the exact same thing. They faced Andolo Santangelo, a guy that had a Telluride and who struggled against the Raptors in a game before. So when the Raptors saw that in the bottom of the ninth, they felt like, hey, we can get a couple hits on this guy, and they surely did. And Hugo was intentionally walked as he was at first, and then there was only one out. So bases were juiced with one out, and, yeah, they eventually got Basir home, and Gervich went to – Basir got home off of a wild pitch. Gervich went to third. Garrett Broussard was also to get on base. He was walked, so he was at second, and Hugo was at first. And then they had an opportunity where – it was Levi Jensen. It was his story to write at the end of the night as he drove a ball, grounded a ball into third baseman. And the play was at the plate at home, but already as soon as he hit that ball off the bat, Gervich was dead sprinting 90 feet away, slid at the plate, play was not made in time, and yeah, they were able to win. So Woodchucks have not beaten the Rafters in three tries, as Rafters owned the series last year as well. They won 10-2, and this is a team, Wausau, who's at 8-5, just like the Rafters. Rafters have won six in a row. Rafters have first place possession of the Great Lakes West Division because they own the tiebreaker with Wausau, but today Wausau could change that by making it 9-5, and if you're a Rafter fan, you hope that's not the case. Are they able to extend their win streak to 7? They were 2-5 at one point in this season, and questions were arising. Well, it's early, but they have their hitters. They have guys that are ready to step in and play day in and day out, and a guy like that is Chris Conniff, who has been exceptional for the Rafters. He has bought in, and he's already known. This is his second summer here in Wisconsin Rapids, batting at .391. He's got 5 RBIs, 5 walks as well, and 5 runs. So head coach for the Wausau Woodchucks, Brock Moss, is a new guy for them, and Kirk Schreider back at the helm once again. And these two coaches are meeting at the head umpire, whereas Dalton Phillips will be behind home plate today. Brandon Wells will be at first base, and Rob Knox, the crew chief, he'll be at third base. So coaches and umpires meeting in the batter's box right now at home plate, and we're just about, well, 9 minutes away. And you have to imagine, is Latino night going to be a special one? Can the Rafters extend their win streak to 7 in a row? It was 6 in a row, and last night was put in question. They had an opportunity, Wausau did, win that game, but the timely hits of Basir and Gurevich were able to spark that ninth inning rally. And then the struggling pitcher of Angelo Santangelo had had the Rafters inside of his head, and well, it paid off for them. So the question is it 7 in a row, and are they going to be 9-5? Can they play a good game? This game scheduled here at 4:05, and last night, when the game was scheduled at 6:30, the rain was coming down like crazy, and the question was, well, is there going to be a doubleheader today? Possibly a 1 o'clock game and a 7 o'clock game, but Rafters and all the fans that were here, and we thank all the fans that have stuck with us last night and made an appearance and were cheering the team on, because it was not easy. The rain stopped, but there was more weather in the forecast, and it was a windy and cold night, but Rafters found a way to win, and they did so with a walk-off that really had this team coming together, and this team is starting to create a lot of chemistry with each other, putting the guys in at the right positions. The lineups have been good, and now, guys are ready to step in and get their chance, and that's exactly what we've seen. Guys that have already come in, like Chris Conniff and Broussard, that have played well, and how about Jack Gurevich, the San Diego product, has really bought into Kirk Schreider, and this coaching staff has had an exceptional start. So Gurevich is a guy that they're going to see probably the entire summer that they can rely on, because he can get hits left and right. A guy that's been batting 3 hits on 6 at-bats. He's batting a .500, 2 RBIs, a home run, and 2 walks. And yesterday he had a timely hit that allowed these two teams allowed the Rafters to win. So Schreider, Brian Dyer, and Orlando Rodriguez are the three coaches for the Rafters. Brian Dyer is usually slotted at first. Orlando Rodriguez is at third. And now Roscoe P. Rafter on the back of the raft is waving across, going behind the back track and waving to all these fans. And we thank everybody for coming out. Not an ideal day for baseball, cloudy and 61, but Latino night in full effect, and these special edition jerseys that the Rafters have on, you hope that they can come away with a victory. Roscoe P. Rafter is out, and all the teammates are at the dugout for both teams. So these two teams about 5 minutes away. Lineups and national anthem coming up here very shortly. So an opportunity for the Rafters to continue, and they have been, as a team, they've been batting better than it was previously, batting .246 as a team. They have 56 runs. They also have 98 hits with 49 RBIs as a team. They've been struck out 90 times, but they have found a way to start this win streak, and it's been resilient, and they have been impressive. But the only thing is, it's only 13 games, and with 72 games in total for this season, you have to worry about the next day. You can't worry about what you've done or didn't do. You have to worry about the game in front of you. This wraps up